I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, appreciate you listening. We're going to be speaking with radio.com sports NFL insider Mark Herzlich here. Insider calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Van. Mark, we appreciate you carving out some time for us, and I guess we'll be speaking with you every Wednesday leading up to the Super Bowl here, so we don't take that for granted. And for the sake of just an introduction of who you are, you have a very unique football journey that I think is a very compelling story to tell. Introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit more about your football journey, Mark.
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having me on. It's gonna be a fun, you know, few weeks leading up to this this big game. But I played football at Boston College, and right after my junior season, I was diagnosed with bone cancer at Boston College, and went through chemotherapy and radiation, and then eventually a surgery to put a titanium rod down through the center of my left femur. And came back, played for Boston College, and then went undrafted after being a previous first-round potential pick, and went undrafted. Got signed with the New York Giants in 2011, made their roster, ended up starting for them that year. And year one, rookie year, we went and beat the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Right. So played for 8 years with the Giants and retired, and now in being an analyst, college football analyst for ESPN, and then radio.com NFL analyst.
Mark, how's your health today?
Thank you for asking. It's good. It's 10 years now, cancer-free. I am basically cured. They don't usually use that word, but cancer is in my rear view.
Great stuff, Mark. Love that story. I'm really looking forward to getting your insight here as we head up to the Super Bowl. Can we start with that team that you beat in the Super Bowl? Because Tom Brady today put out his Instagram post, and I love how social media kind of shapes a news cycle and forces the hand of multi-billion-dollar organizations to make big decisions. But Tom Brady making it seem very likely that if it was up to him, he would be playing for the New England Patriots again next year.
Yeah, I think that when everything kind of settles and you get at that point of your career like Brady is, I don't know why he would want to go anywhere else. Now, I think that it's one of those things that when it comes to personal decisions, yes, you want to stay with the team. When it comes down to business decisions, that might be a different story. So that's the process that he's going to have to go through. He says he still has stuff to prove and he wants to do those things, but there's also the thank you. Right, once you say thank you to the fans and then you turn around and say, hey, I would like to be here, after some reflection, it's kind of it's still up in the air. You don't know what's going to happen for next year for him.
Well, who has that tough conversation if Bill Belichick has other thoughts? Or does Robert Kraft have the tough conversation with Bill Belichick? In other words, okay, Brady has made his move on the chess table. Now who gets the next move here, do you think, Mark?
I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to Robert Kraft and what he sees as the best for his franchise. I think the best thing in my opinion, is to get Brady and Belichick back together again and have them play for another season. And if the animosity that's kind of surfaced or a little tension that's surfaced, those are things that, at least Brady right now is saying, hey, I can work through that. I really still think that we can win. So I think the next step is for Belichick to maybe swallow a little pride too and have them both go to Kraft saying, hey, we want to do this again.
We got Josh McDaniels, reports of Josh McDaniels going to Cleveland to interview for their head coaching vacancy on Friday. What does the potential departure of McDaniels mean for the future of New England?
Well, I think he's been a staple over the last few years in success. And to me, the turnover ratio of these assistant coaches at the New England Patriots, it just happens, right? Because you have so much success and you're able to be so creative. I think when you look to hire a new offensive coordinator to fill that role, you look for that same young, talented mind that can fit into a program that Bill Belichick creates. When he creates a mold for what his team wants to look like, there isn't a whole ton of input from other coaches or other people or other players. He kind of says, hey, this is what we want to look like, and then hands the keys to the new driver of that offense when they're ready. So I think that he is going to dictate a lot in terms of what happens at the next coordinator spot and what the offense looks like next year. But at the end of the day, you've seen it work before. You've seen that plug-and-play mentality happen all over the Patriots organization, and the only constant the whole time have been Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Could you see a situation where Cleveland makes McDaniels an offer, McDaniels goes back to New England and says, this is the offer, you guys care to match it and make me the head coach? I've been waiting here long enough, don't you think?
Well, I think if Belichick is out, if that is a possibility, right? If say Brady comes back and there's behind closed doors conversations with Kraft saying, "Hey, I'm coming back, but I don't want Belichick here." Then Brady would be on the phone with McDaniel saying, "Hey, go see what you can get and come back." I mean, that is definitely a possibility. I think those are all stretches that everybody has in their mind as possibilities. I think that there's also the sense when you become a head coach somewhere, you want to be able to kind of start new. So yes, he has made a lot of moves on the offensive coordinator spot. I just would be wondering if McDaniels would be nervous if he comes back, will it be Bill Belichick's team, even though Bill's not in the building?
Yeah, I'm surprised that, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think McDaniels interviewed with the Giants, your former team. Kind of shifting gears there, were you surprised who the Giants hired this week?
Well, I was surprised only because I hadn't really known much about him. And I think that McDaniels was someone who I thought, okay, well, the news came out that Matt Rhule was going to Carolina. And it was all talked about that Matt Rhule was the lead for the Giants job. And Matt Rhule was a GA or quality control guy while I was at the Giants in 2011. And I knew he knew the program. And so when I saw that, I said, okay, well, maybe it shifts to McDaniels. But, as Joe Judge got the job, you start to learn more about him and just kind of learn who he is as a coach. You still kind of think, all right, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That's just kind of the way it goes. I know, there's been reports that Belichick called the Giants and recommended Joe Judge, and how much of that is true or not true. He's coached under a lot of good coaches, but that doesn't make you a good coach yourself. I was kind of using the comparison the other day with someone. You might work at J.P. Morgan and work for a guy like Jamie Dimon, but that doesn't mean you're Jamie Dimon, right? It doesn't mean that Joe Judge is Bill Belichick or Nick Saban. So he's going to have to create his own team and his own rules and everything, and we'll see how that goes with the Giants.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Mark Herzlich joining us here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Mark, you're familiar with the Giants as an organization, and we always say here that dysfunction in the NFL starts at the top. There are teams that just can't get out of their own way for whatever reason. Ownership is usually a big part of it. We see it in Washington, certainly in Dallas. Cleveland, obviously is another organization. But the Giants stumbling on some hard times here, but ownership of the Giants has always been considered and held in high regard. Is this potentially the final year of Dave Gettleman? If it goes bad with his hire in 2020, could there be a house cleaning, another house cleaning for a proud organization in 2021?
I could see there being a Dave Gettleman firing. I what I don't necessarily see is a Dave Gettleman and a Joe Judge firing after 1 year. You know, the Giants did something similar when they got rid of Tom Coughlin. They got rid of Tom Coughlin year one, and then the next year they brought in a new general manager. That's, you know, Jerry Reese stayed around for another year. So I don't think they want to do everybody at one time. It just, to me, there becomes too much of a revolving door, right? When you have some leadership changes and you bring one guy in and then, you know, have a potential hot seat for another guy, what happens if that other guy leaves too? So there's just so much back and forth. And, you know, Dave Gettleman has quite frankly come in and made a lot of questionable decisions that some have turned out good and some you still scratch your head about. One thing that was very notable was the purge that he made on the roster and on the depth chart when he took over. You know, after 6 months of being at his position, there was a 60% or 65% turnover in the Giants locker room. So, you know, he was getting rid of everybody from the Jerry Reese era and bringing in a bunch of new people. And so far, it hasn't worked. And there needs to be progress this year, especially with, you know, with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and, you know, a bunch of big name picks. It has to start working out in his favor.
NFL Insider Radio.com's Mark Herzlich is our guest here in the Sports Bar, former New York Giant. As we kind of look ahead here to the playoffs, Mark, you know, winning on the road in this round is difficult. Your Giants pulled it off in 2011 going to Lambeau. Why is it so difficult? That extra week of rest means so much to those home teams. And when you look at these four matchups this week, which of the road teams would you say has the best chance to pull it off?
I would say that, I think that Seattle probably has the best chance actually at Green Bay. It's going to be a long travel for them, but I think it comes down to the players. I love what Russell Wilson has been doing. I just think that he is on, you know, really on top of his game. And Chris Carson and, you know, Tyler Lockett. I mean, their offense is really clicking right now. And Beast Mode's back. And how can you not root for Beast Mode? I think Pete Carroll said he should probably play some more versus the Packers, and you'll see a little bit more of a, you know, two-headed monster with there. And then, you know, defensively, Bobby Wagner is the guy. I mean, he has just been a Mr. Consistent and leading that defense. So, you know, while the Packers have had some ups and downs this year, you know, there were times where you're just wondering, man, are they falling off? Are they going to make the playoffs? And then obviously they finished strong. But I like Seattle going to Green Bay and winning that game, especially because the other places you have to go are Kansas City, which is probably one of the loudest stadiums I've ever played in, at Baltimore with the home crowd and Lamar Jackson. And then, you know, we went to San Francisco and won that one. But when I was playing in 2011, but Jimmy Garoppolo has just been on fire. So that would be kind of my take on that home field advantage.
Mark, we saw a question asked on ESPN, and I think it's just it still stings a little bit to talk about this matchup, but in a pinch, are you leaning more Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson with the game on the line? That's a matchup that I can't wait to check out this weekend.
Yeah, I'm leaning a little bit more towards Patrick Mahomes. I think that Deshaun Watson has been really good this year, but I think that the people around Patrick Mahomes allow him to do that. And you know, when you look at, obviously, you know, Travis Kelce, you know, tight end, and you look at, you know, just his ability to find so many people and utilize so many weapons, I think that really helps him. You know, obviously, absolutely nothing can be taken away from Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. They are probably two of the best and one of the best combos in the game. So I just like the athletic ability and the kind of creative nature that Patrick Mahomes brings.
if the Ravens are going to win it all, they're going to likely, well, they will. They will have to beat a team that they've already defeated this year, because they will be going up. They're going to face a team in the AFC Championship game, I should say. They will already have faced, whether that's Kansas City or whether that's Houston. I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, as we're going to have you on next week, but when we're looking at Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, is it a matter of time before defenses catch up and figure out how to defend this guy?
I'd say, usually you would say yes. You know, the more opportunity you have to try and stop someone, the better chance you have. However, you also have film, and you have analysts. And, you know, game one and game three is much different than game 15, week 16. So, you know, you already have the film on what they can do and what they are doing so well. And when you look at the past matchups, you know, what did Lamar Jackson do versus Kansas City? You know, he had 267 yards through the air. I mean, he was, you know, very consistent in what he did in that game. He did well. However, they lost, and Kansas City won that one. And then when you look at kind of what he did later in the year versus the Texans, the Texans pretty much couldn't do anything to stop them. So, it'll be interesting to see what that matchup pertains. That close game early in the season versus the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium, you know, that was one of the blemishes on this season for Baltimore Ravens.
He's Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Mark Herzlich joining us for a few more minutes here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mark, you're a BC guy. We're in Bills country. The Bills have a BC guy playing the position you played at linebacker. I'm curious what your thoughts are on Matt Milano's young career, if you've been following it. I'm guessing that BC guys probably follow other BC guys through their path and journey through the NFL. And just overall, an outsider's perspective on the Buffalo Bills this season, what you saw, what your thoughts are on them and their prospects moving forward into 2020.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so, you know, with Matt, I've loved watching Matt play. And, you know, he's been really consistent. He's been physical in his play. A lot of times, you know, especially now when you watch guys play, they're not as downhill and physical as you would want them to be. So when I watch Matt play, though, he's opportunistic. He's consistent. And, you know, even just the amount of tackles he gets a game. I mean, he's always around the ball, and you never see him stop on a play. So I've been really impressed with what he's been able to do. And I think what he did this year too, which kind of set himself apart a little bit, was he's picked up his pass coverage. I think he has 9-10 passes defended on the season. And so he's been able to be an asset, a three down linebacker for the Bills. And, you know, we look at what the Bills have going forward and who they're built around. Josh Allen has proven himself this year as a really good quarterback. They have a lot to build on. So, you know, I think they're exciting to watch. And as Bills fans know, it's been a while since you've had, you know, a ton to be excited about. And I think this is a team that they are fully behind.
I mean, what will it take to get past the Patriots? Assuming the band gets back together. I mean, as you could imagine here, Mark, Josh Allen is a divisive figure. He's a device. Since he came into the league, there were some people that couldn't think he could, you know, pull it off. So this is a Bills team, though, that did not get the 30 points at all this season with their offense. So how would you go about improving that offense? Is it just a matter of getting more pieces around Josh Allen?
Well, I think you want to give him some weapons. And I don't know if anyone knew how John Brown was going to play coming into this year. And, you know, he ended up being fantastic. But, you know, he was a guy that stood out and popped off the page for them. And then can you rely on Frank Gore again? I mean, Frank Gore had, again, another fantastic year, and he had some different injuries to Singletary throughout the year, but, you know, he's also a weapon for them. So what I would love to see is a big guy on the outside for them. Obviously, Cole Beasley was consistent, and he always is, but, you know, get a big receiver on the outside. And you know, you gotta you got to continue to develop explosive play. I mean, that's what NFL football and college football has come down to nowadays, is finding ways to be explosive. And I think that is kind of the next step of, you know, run the ball, get the ball out on some screens, but they need to start taking, you know, some of those shots downfield to utilize Josh Allen's big arm.
Mark, it's been absolutely great chatting with you this afternoon. We look forward to doing it again next week, same day, same time. We'll preview Championship Sunday with you. Sound good?
Sounds awesome. Take care, guys.
Appreciate
All right.
it.
Thank you, Mark.
Radio.com Sports Insider, NFL Insider, Mark Herzlich, Insider Calls, brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans.
Yeah, and I love having insiders, because sometimes they give you the answer you're not expecting. When I ask them the question, which road team would you expect to win? Didn't think you would say Seattle now, did you? But then you think, well, that is a team that, you know, certainly Russell Wilson's been there and they've won on the road. They've had 7 road victories if you count the Philadelphia game as well. So that is an interesting matchup for sure, Seattle against Green Bay this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think the chalk pick would be there? Would it be Houston? I mean, Houston going into Kansas City feels like a tall order. I don't know that Houston's defense is ready for that.
I think Andy Reid has shown the propensity to choke in the playoffs. I mean, you lost at home to Tennessee a few years ago. I mean, and that Tennessee team wasn't half as good, I think, as this Houston team that's going to be coming in. As long as you have the quarterback with the playmaking skills of Deshaun Watson. I hate, you know, people are, don't talk Houston Texans, but they're supposedly going to get Will Fuller back this week.
Oof.
Yeah, so that will certainly help out. And it ends up being a shootout. Well, then, you know, last team with the ball will win.
Good stuff from NFL Insider, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Mark Herzlich. He'll be joining us again next week. We'll preview Championship Sunday with him. We'll talk to him every Wednesday leading up to the Super Bowl. Can't wait. Good stuff right there from a former NFL player and a guy with an incredible journey and a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be good to get his perspective coming up next Wednesday.
We've got takes on tap. I'll drink to that little game we play every day right around this time where we unleash some takes that we're sitting on. I've got a take about the incoming NFL draft quarterback class.
I'm going to lay out my argument that we should get rid of all-star games forever.
Ooh.
And it actually might be happening. And it might be the source that could be putting an end to this. It's not just the NFL I'm talking about. There's another sport right now where, the commissioner, he doesn't have the pull to get players to go to his all-star game.
We got I'll drink to that on the way next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.